All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual featured very prominently on Hard to Kill, which transpires January the 13th. Impact Wrestling kicking off 2023 in a big way and doing so with Jordan Grace versus Mickey James. A lot going on in this match here. We got the Knockouts World title on the line, Mickey James' career at stake, and very happy to be welcoming Mickey onto the show today to talk about all that. How's your day going there, Mickey?
I'm so good. I'm so good. Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah, and this is a quality match. A lot going into this as well and everything like that. And it seems like you've had such a great run and impact and everything like that. So yeah, this last rodeo, very cool and makes a lot of sense in terms of like your career lineage that it would be in Impact Wrestling. So you've been with them for so long. Can you talk about the last rodeo and just like what this whole journey has been like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is my third time at Impact Wrestling. And so it's funny how our careers just kind of come full circle and how small the wrestling world is. But I have a lot of love and loyalty for Impact Wrestling. They gave me my very first start as Alexis Lurie. And I was very blessed and fortunate to be able to work beside Raven and be the first woman and the only woman for a long time until Daphne, I guess, broke that. It was for the only woman to do the Clockwork Orange House of Fun match for the longest time, and then left there and went to WWE and had an incredible run there from, you know, developmental to then going up to WWE TV. And then I came back after winning the championship and doing amazing, you know, there at WWE. And I came back to Impact in 2010, and that's where Hardcore Country was born. And that was a whole reinvention of myself, I think, and it gave me a whole new it was a new lesson, I think, because at the time I was in a much different place than I am now, and I needed something fresh and I needed something to help me believe in myself again, and that's really what Hardcore Country was about. And so I'm always grateful for that, because I thought that maybe at that point would be my career was over, just because that's the narrative or the story that's told to us. And then was fortunate enough, you know, to go back to WWE again in 2016 for you know, the takeover, and I got paired up with Alexa out of that, and you know, had a lot of fun this last round, but I also felt like I was just missing this. I was missing that Mickey James story. I was missing that way to finalize or really bookend my career the right way. And before I transition or do anything behind the scenes, and I honestly, when I first came back here to Impact Wrestling, my intentions were not to really even wrestle. It was more for Empower. I was really focused on promoting Empower and trying to get all of these brands. I was trying to hopefully use my name and my respect in the business and my respect for the business to lean on every company to kind of work together for women's wrestling, because I felt like every promotion tries, but you know, there was really, I thought it was a beautiful way to have everybody come together to celebrate their women, to celebrate their women's division. And it was beautiful and it was amazing, but that was kind of like my purpose and my attention, I think, because that was a lot of my focus, in my argument when I was there at WWE, if I was going to have to transition behind the scenes, I really wanted to be able to help lead the women's division into new territory. And where there was such a vast amount of talent there that I felt that there could be a secondary or a third brand that was women led. And, you know, I digress, but so that my fight for Empower, there was a lot of reasoning behind it. It was very successful. It was amazing, the responses and stuff that it got from the audience, from the fans, and still to this day that people still talk about, of like, it was a lot of people, it was the greatest pay-per-view of the year last year, and it's really special. But when the opportunity came to get back in the ring and to wrestle again, I wanted to, I really had to think hard about it, because it's like, well, that's not really what my fight was for. And I also, you know, that's kind of what this last rodeo is about. It's like, you know, you get compared to this new generation as if, you know, your generation wasn't as good. And in my opinion, I go like, well, if it wasn't for my generation and that generation before me that have literally beat down the dirt road and laid the pavement for all these opportunities to be happening now, from main events to WrestleMania moments to all of these things, like getting more time, 20 minutes instead of five, you know, with entrances, like all these things that have transpired. And it's really, you know, women are really being seen as equals. And I was like, it's a tough thing. And so I wanted to prove that I still belonged there. And at the time it was Deonna Purrazzo, and we could not have been more opposite of talents. She definitely is a beautiful representation of this generation. And she was a very dominant champion. She was the longest reigning Knockouts world champion, and she had beaten everyone. She was unstoppable. And it just felt right. It felt right to have. And I thought that, you know, maybe this would be it, in that sense of like, I just wanted that bookend. And we had such an awesome feud. And she really pushed me to limits, and Impact gave us opportunities that I didn't even really realize were available for us, in the sense of main eventing the pay-per-view, the first time the Knockouts Championship had ever been on the line as the main event, for a pay-per-view, to Texas Deathmatch, and just all these different things that really tested me, but also tested myself in that sense of like, I can still do this, and I'm still a badass. And it meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to me to come back and then prove myself and become champion again, and then kick down some doors and show up at the Royal Rumble as the Knockouts World Champion. It just was so many amazing things, and it made me happy, you know. And even when I lost the title to Tasha, I was like, well, that's cool. Like, that, I think I'm happy with that, you know. And I think the reality is that I love this business so much, and I want to be the best. And that's kind of what this last rodeo is about, to, as a long answer to your question, is proving that I still belong and proving that I still am the best, you know, because if I can't hang and I don't belong, then I shouldn't be here. I don't need to, you know what I mean? I don't need it for my ego. I don't need it for one more championship to hang on my wall. It was more of a test to myself of, you know, do I still belong here? And whatever happens on the 13th, I'm very satisfied with my career. There's obviously women that I would have loved to have faced, and I didn't get a chance to, but there's going to be women that come up in the future that I'll never probably get to face. And I would have really loved an opportunity to, but the legacy, my legacy, I think, is one that I can be at this point very proud of, and is one that I can look at my son and he would be proud of me when he's old enough to really understand, right? That it was something special, and you know, I'm grateful for that. And I want to, whatever I want it, like, you know, whatever happens, I just want it to go out on my terms, and go out in a blaze of glory. And that's kind of what this last rodeo is about. That's what about this title versus career match is about, is whether I belong or not. And I can't think of a better opponent of someone who has dominated this division and been a very strong Knockouts champion. And we've never faced each other, never been in the ring against each other. And Jordynne Grace, I think, is a beautiful representation of this generation. And she's younger than me. She's way stronger than me. I don't know if I said faster, but I don't know that she's faster, because I'm pretty quick and nimble. That might be the only thing I got on her. And a veteran and can stretch her. That part too.
Yeah, I was going to say you've been part of so many firsts throughout the history of Impact Wrestling, even in like an adjacent kind of way. Like, I mean, I know you were talking before about some of the like gimmick matches and stuff like that, but like they relatively recently, like within the last couple of years, had the first like Knockouts, you know, Ultimate X match and the first ever like Queen of the Mountain match. And yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. You know, that's the one thing about Impact. And I think that's why I've always had this love and loyalty to Impact, not only because they gave me an opportunity first, but it's because of the respect they have for their women and the women's division. Like, they have always, since the beginning of time that I can remember, have always respected their women and treated them and give them equal time, equal segments on television. Some, you know, where in other companies and other and not just television, I'm independents as well, were very quick to go like, oh yeah, the girls match is the popcorn match, and if there was going to get time cut from a match, it would be the girls match, and you know, oh, that's the novelty match, and that's just the way it was always promoted. And it can be very, you know, you have to imagine for a woman to always know in this business that you are not equal. And that's the way it's been since I first stepped foot in a wrestling school. Women were not equal to men. Women got less time. Women did managerial roles. Women were the popcorn matches. Women were the novelty matches. There's no way women were going to have a ladders match or a TLC match or a Falls Count Anywhere match or a, you know, any type of match with a stipulation, because the fact that you're women, that's the stipulation. That's the thing that makes you guys different. You know, there was one title to go after. So now to change that perception and to change that, what women are capable of. And, you know, I remember the first time I saw Trish and Lita as the main event for Raw, I was like, oh my God. That means that this is possible. Like, these are doors that are being opened. These are barriers that are being pushed for women. And now look where we're at, where women are headlining WrestleMania, where, you know, for Deonna and I, the Knockouts Championship, was the first time it was the headline of the pay-per-view. It was the main event of the pay-per-view. It is crazy that in 2022, that was a first time ever, you know, and... But that's how long it's take to kind of to get here, and it's been a journey, you know, and it's one I'm very grateful for. I wouldn't trade my career for anything, because I've had some awesome moments and a lot of lessons and a lot of blessings and a lot of hardships, you know. But it's like those defining moments, those hard times that really define your character and what you're made out of, and I think this is no different. Challenging myself and trying to go against someone like Jordan. And that's kind of what I set, you know, I did it to myself in the sense of like, I really wanted to test myself one last test to see if I still can go and still belong here. And that's what that's about. And that's what this is about. And I know that Jordan wants to hold on to that championship. And she has zero problems retiring me. I mean, she respects me, but that doesn't mean that she doesn't want to keep that championship more, you know? So it's very serious, you know, and wrestling has always been it's been a lot of fun, but I've taken it very seriously, because I think that we had to do a lot of work to get to this place.
Yeah, absolutely. And like to your prior point too, about the development of the women's wrestling and stuff like that, it seems too like there's a chance for more like, I guess, like multifaceted characters and nuanced storylines too. So I would think from your perspective, that would be great too, like stepping out of more of like a one-dimensional kind of framework and being, you know, much more expressive and having that like nuance to the story and everything.
Yeah, well, my favorite part about wrestling is the storytelling, is the characters. I mean, I was a fan of wrestling, but it's not the moves that made me fall in love with wrestling. It was never what they did in the ring. Like, I respect it, and I love wrestling. I love good wrestling. I love storytelling wrestling. So that there is a difference. But it's the characters and that development and the promos and these larger than life human beings that were capable of anything that made me fall in love with wrestling. It was that escapism of, you know, the Macho Man Randy Savage, who was awesome in the ring, but it wasn't his wrestling moves that I loved. It was him. It was his personality. It was his charisma. It was his ego. It was his, you know, his gear. It was Sensational Sherry, of her over the top, of her face paint, of her just being this superwoman that was not afraid of anything, you know, that would take on anyone. It was things like that that made me fall in love with wrestling. And I find, like, yes, the wrestling is very important. You have to be a good wrestler, but you have to be a great entertainer, and you have to be a great, like, at thinking on your feet and at improv and character development. You know, you have to be in tune with who that character is and know it inside out, to really be successful. And to get that character over to a level of success where people genuinely care, you know, it's there's an artwork to it. And I think that we kind of take that lightly because we put a lot of focus on, like the little things, like quality of matches, or like the things that they did in a certain match, rather than, in my opinion, what really draws money is story and characters. And that's what people connect to the most, because most people aren't capable of going out there and doing a lot of those moves that you see. There, a lot of people are not, but they are capable of feeling, because that's what they remember. Like, if you go back, even just in, like, your own personal memories of life, like, you may remember a fight you got into. You may not remember everything that you had, you know, you did in that fight, but you remember why that fight started and how you felt about it, you know? Or you remember that for a time that person broke your heart because of the way it made you feel. So it's just, feelings are memorable. And so that's what I've always tried to connect with. Is people's, you know, to make them feel something.
Yeah, so well put. And I have so many more questions for you, but I understand you're on a tight schedule, and I want to be mindful of that as well, Mickey. So to that point, is there maybe anything you'd like to put out there as a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up here?
You know, sure. I want to say thank you to the fans, to both my fans who love me, but even the fans who have loved to boo me along the way. Like, I have not taken my career lightly at all. I've been very blessed to have, you know, to be on television pretty much since 2015 and to remain a force in the locker room and a force in women's wrestling. And I'm very grateful. I'm grateful for my career. I hope that I can pay it forward. My intention is always to continue to better women's wrestling, whether it's in the ring or behind the scenes. Because it's the women now, especially, but they've always been, I felt like they've been underappreciated in a lot of, and it wasn't on them, you know, it wasn't their fault, and it's just, it takes time to change people's mind. And I think that I've been very blessed on this, and I've been very blessed to have so many fans that have stood by my side through thick and thin, through the brightest of times and through the darkest of times. And it's meant a lot to me, and through a lot of those moments, I don't know that I could have made it through without, you know, their support. So I hope that they will continue to follow me into Hard to Kill, and no matter what happens, I love you guys, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been a great journey from the Nashville Fairgrounds and the White Trash Cafe to being poised to become a 5-time champ.
With those salty green beans, come on.
No one's gonna be salty at this matchup, though. This is gonna be a great one with Jordan Grace, one I'm certainly excited for, and people can check that out. Hard to Kill, January 13th on pay-per-view. And to reiterate, thanks so much for making some time, Mickey. Definitely a very cool interview to have been able to say I've been able to do. And yeah, you enjoy the rest of your day too.
You too, Dylan. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.